Good evening. We've been blessed with a beautiful day today, and certainly it's good to be here this evening to come together and worship God once again. I'd like to thank Luke for the message this morning, and so great to have men who can step in and fill in when they need to and are willing to do that. And Luke did an excellent job this morning. We're very thankful for his effort in that. Continue to remember Julie and Wilson and your prayers, and what an exciting time for their family. I know it's exciting for them. It's exciting really for all of us, I think, as they are looking to adopt those three children and give them the family that they have never had. And I think we're all excited that they're not only going to become part of the Adams family, but also part of our family here at Veterans Parkway. And I think we're eager to see that come about very soon. So let's remember them in our prayers as well. If you will turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Where it says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." One of the greatest attributes of God is his faithfulness. Now, when we think of faithfulness, we may think of that elderly couple that have stuck it out through thick and thin, maybe for 50 or more years, or maybe we think of the family dog who is eager to run to you and lick you and wants to be there with you no matter what kind of day you had or what kind of mood you're in. The loyalty and the faithfulness that's there. Maybe we think of that friend or that family member who knows everything about us, and despite that, they still love us anyway. That's what we think about sometimes when we think about this idea of faithfulness. Faithfulness, though, these days may be the exception, unfortunately, instead of the rule. How many marriages have fallen apart because of unfaithfulness? Or we have an election coming up on Tuesday. Think about how many politicians have been unfaithful to all the promises that they would make during the campaign, but once they get in office, they're not faithful in keeping those promises. And throughout that, we see then that unfaithfulness is a problem in the relationships that we have in this world. However, we can be certain that there is one who will always be faithful. God is always faithful. There's several verses throughout the Bible that describes the faithfulness of God. And first we see in Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9, it says there, "Know therefore the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps His covenant and His loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love Him and keep His commandments." In Psalm chapter 36 and verse 5, Psalm 36, verse 5 says, "Your loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies." In Lamentations chapter 3, and verse 22 and 23, it says, "The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." And how about the New Testament in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24? It says, "Faithful is He who calls you, and He will also bring it to pass." And the Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, "Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For He Himself has said, 'I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you.'" The faithfulness of God is evident throughout Scriptures, and the Old Testament and the New Testament as well. The faithfulness of God is spoken of. And God's faithfulness is part of His unchanging nature. You see, God, as we look at, has always been faithful. God is faithful today. And also, we understand that God will always be faithful. In the past, in the present, in the future, the faithfulness of God is certain. Throughout history, God has demonstrated His faithfulness to His people. God was faithful to bring Noah and his family safely from the flood. God was faithful to bring the Israelites out of Egyptian captivity. God was faithful with His people to provide food for the Israelites during the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. God was faithful to provide a new leader in Joshua following the death of Moses. And Joshua would lead them into the promised land that God had given them. God was faithful to protect Daniel when he was in a den of hungry lions. And as Luke talked about this morning, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God was faithful to deliver them from the furnace of fire. God was faithful to Jesus when he was tempted in the desert. You think about God, he was faithful delivering Paul and Silas from prison, from the Philippian jail. And even in death, God is faithful to save his people and give them a home with him for an eternity. God is faithful. He was faithful to deliver all from sin by sending his son to die on the cross. Again, I'll say, God has always been faithful. God is faithful. And God will always be faithful. How does God demonstrate his faithfulness then? If we say God is faithful, well, how do we know that? What does that look like? How is it demonstrated to us? This evening I'd like to look at a few things of how God demonstrates his faithfulness to us. You see, the first point there is that God is faithful to keep all of his promises. In Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19, it tells us there that God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? It's kind of a rhetorical question there. If God speaks it, it's going to come about. If he says it, he's going to make it good. And we can count on that. That's the promises of God. When God makes a promise, he's going to keep it. When we think about it, we probably have had people in our life that have made promises to us, but when it came to fulfilling those promises and doing what they have said that they were going to do, maybe they fall short and aren't able to fulfill that. Maybe even the truth be known, perhaps we ourselves have made a promise or two, and maybe when it comes down to it, for one reason or another, we've been unable to fulfill maybe the promise that we've made to someone. But when we see with God, he is faithful to keep all of his promises. He doesn't have a problem with falling short of keeping and fulfilling the promises that he makes. Even though we may have a problem with that, God is faithful to keep those promises. If God promises us that he's never going to leave us and he's never going to forsake us, well, he's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. If God promises to supply all our needs through his glorious riches in Christ Jesus, you know what? Then God is going to supply all our needs. If God promises to work for our good in all circumstances in our life, then we can rest assured that in any circumstance in our life, God is working for our good. Because that's what he promised. If God has promised that he has prepared for us a place to live with him for all of eternity, then we can be sure that that place is prepared. God is faithful to keep all of his promises. We also see that God is faithful to deliver us in times of trouble. In Psalm chapter 34, verse 17, it tells us the righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. As we see that it tells us that God will deliver us from the troubles that we face in this life. We face many troubles in our life, and we know that we need God. If we try to tackle those things on our own, we're destined to failure, and we're going to have problems. But when we put those things in the hands of God, God has promised that he will deliver us from those troubles. In Psalm chapter 50 and verse 15, another psalm, that it tells us there, the Lord says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I shall rescue you, and you will honor me. Again, God promises here he will rescue us from the troubles that we find. But notice the first part of that. He says, call upon me in the day of trouble. You see, He's expecting us to call upon Him. We have to depend upon Him. It's not that we can tackle these things by ourselves, but the Lord wants us to call upon Him. And when we do, then He will rescue us. He will be there for us. He'll deliver us from the troubles that we face in our life. This means God is just as faithful as well on our good days and our bad days. You know, sometimes when we're going through trouble, we think, well, where is God? God's not there. You know, what's God doing? Why is this happening to me? And sometimes that's maybe when that doubt creeps in and we fail to really trust in God. God is just as faithful, though, when everything seems to be going wrong as He is when everything seems to be going right. God, as we said, He has always been faithful, He is faithful, and He always will be faithful. He is working things out for our good because we are His people. And so even though maybe we can't see it at the moment, we have to put our trust in God that His wisdom is greater than ours and that He is working things out for our good ultimately in the end. God is just as faithful on our worst day as He is on our best days. When our circumstances are constantly changing, God's faithfulness never does. And even though we may be having good times or we may be having bad times, depending on what the circumstances are in our life at any given moment, we know that God is there and He is always faithful to help us through any troubles that we may face. He is faithful to deliver us in times of trouble, and He's going to give us the strength that we need to overcome those troubles that we face. So God is faithful to deliver us in times of trouble. Third point that we see concerning the faithfulness of God is that God is faithful to deliver us in temptations. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and in verse 13, it says that no temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Notice it makes the statement, God is faithful. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means it goes on to say, He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. He will provide the way of escape so that we can endure the temptations that we face. Every day we face temptations. Every day Satan will launch attacks against us. Every day we see that Satan is trying to drag us down. And we need God in order to overcome him. We can't do it on our own. We can't do it by ourselves. We can't say, I'm going to fight this battle alone. We need God. We need Him on our side. And we need to understand the power in prayer. Or actually the power not in prayer, but the power is in God, the one that answers the prayer. And we need to understand that and ask God to help us. And when we face those temptations, ask God to help us through those things, to overcome those things. There's never going to be a temptation that it's impossible for us to overcome. The Scripture tells us God's going to give us that way to escape. Are we going to choose to take that way? Are we going to choose to find the strength that God will give us in order to overcome the temptations? But God is faithful to always give us that way of escape. And He will deliver us in times of temptation. He will provide the way out of temptation if we put our trust in Him instead of putting our trust in ourselves. So God is faithful to deliver us in times of temptation. Something else we see that God is faithful. God is faithful to forgive us. It's important for us to understand that God does forgive us. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 19, speaking to Christians, John says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's that statement again. He is faithful. And this, in this instance, what John is saying is He is faithful to forgive us, to cleanse us from unrighteousness. Some Christians, I believe, live defeated lives because they can't accept the fact or can't trust that God has forgiven them. And they get hung up on their past sins and they can't overcome those things because of the fact that they just don't accept or haven't trusted that God has forgiven them of their sins and that they have been cleansed through the blood of Jesus Christ. But John tells us, if we confess our sins, God is faithful. He will forgive us. And so we have to be trusting in the fact that God does forgive us when we truly confess to Him and repent and turn from those things. When somebody obeys the gospel through baptism, those sins are forgiven. It's like they never happened in the eyes of God. He forgives us. He forgives us of those things. And when we as His children, when we confess, and when we repent and turn back to God, those sins are forgiven. Forgiveness is not a feeling, and I think that's part of the problem with some people. They're saying, well, I don't feel like I'm forgiven. It's not a feeling anyway. Forgiveness is an action. It's trusting in the faithfulness that God has forgiven. That's what forgiveness is. It's what God does for us. And God, it tells us, is faithful to forgive us. It's something we need to be willing to accept. No matter what we've done in the past, God says He will forgive us. And we need to accept that. We also see that God is faithful to us. There's the scripture I got ahead of myself. So, God is faithful to us. Okay, I left out a point, so let me just go back to this. The next point that you won't see there, God is faithful to us even when we are not faithful to Him. And the scripture that goes with that is actually 2 Timothy 2. I just left out the other point there. But 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11, God is faithful to us even when we are not faithful to Him. And 2 Timothy 2 and verse 11, it tells us it is a trustworthy statement. For if we died with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. We can't change the faithfulness of God. There's nothing that we will do or can do that will change the faithfulness of God. There are times when our faith may be weak. There are times when we may doubt when we should be trusting. There are times when we fail. But that doesn't change the faithfulness of God. During those times, do you ever think that, well, maybe God maybe could have or maybe even should have given up on me a long time ago? During those times, maybe that we find that we have failed, maybe we find that our faith is weak, maybe in those times that we doubt, we wonder, well, why is it God just given up on me? Well, God doesn't do that. God doesn't give up on us. God is faithful to us. God wants us to repent, as the Scriptures tell us. He's not wanting any to perish, but wants all to come to repentance. So God's not going to give up on us, even though maybe we wonder, why not? I think of Peter. Peter is a man that I think we can all relate to, because Peter had a lot of times in his life that were less than, memorable moments that he would want to have. You remember some of the things that Jesus said to Peter? He called him Satan once. Get behind me, Satan, he said. One time he told him he had little faith. Many times we see that Jesus had to step in because Peter would stand up and say something that wasn't right, and Jesus would have to correct him many times. And of course, ultimately, right before the crucifixion, we know Peter denying Jesus three times when a time that the Lord needed him the most, Peter said, I don't even know him. And when we look at the character of Peter and all the things that he did and all the times that perhaps we would say, well, he disappointed the Lord and he let him down. Why didn't the Lord just throw his hands up and say, you know what, Peter, you've let me down too many times. I can't trust you anymore. Lord didn't do that. Because you come to Acts chapter 2 and it's Peter who's standing on the day of Pentecost. It's Peter who's standing before those who some had a hand in the crucifixion of Jesus. It's Peter who's standing before them and boldly proclaiming the gospel, pointing the finger at them and saying, "This Jesus that you crucified is now made Lord and Savior." It was Peter who preached that gospel sermon, who answered, "Repent and be baptized for remission of your sins." It was Peter who preached that sermon that led to 3,000 souls obeying the gospel that day. It was Peter that went from there spreading the gospel and had a huge impact in the spreading of the gospel. The Lord didn't give up on Peter when he let him down. The Lord didn't give up on Peter when he disappointed him. He didn't throw up his hands and say, "Well, I just can't trust him anymore." No, he was faithful. And he knew that Peter was going to get it eventually. And Peter ended up being very valuable in the service in the kingdom of the Lord. God is faithful. God's not going to give up on us. And even though we fail, and even though we sin, and even though we fall short, and even though we look at our lives and we disappoint the Lord by the things maybe that we do, each time when we turn back to God, we confess our sins and we repent of those things, God is faithful to forgive us. And when we are not faithful to God, He's still going to be faithful to us. He's not going to give up on us. And so we may think, "Well, why is God still with me? Why isn't He giving up on me?" Well, that's not what God's going to do. And it's not because we're deserving the favor of God, because none of us do. But it is because of the grace of God, the mercy that He shows to us, and because of His faithfulness, that He's not going to give up on us. God's not going to give up on us because He is faithful. In times of need, God's going to provide for us. In times of trial and trouble, God's going to give us strength to get through whatever that we're going through. In times of sorrow and grief, God's going to give us comfort and strength to go on and to keep going. And since we know that God has always been faithful, why are we going to ever doubt that He will continue to be faithful today and tomorrow and next week and next month and next year? And ultimately, for an eternity. Because we know the promises of God are real. That He's going to keep the promises that He makes. And that's why we have the hope that we have of having an eternity with Him in heaven. God will continue to be faithful. So let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is faithful. If there's any here this evening who are not Christians, we invite you to make your life right with the Lord tonight by obeying that gospel. Peter preached on that day of Pentecost what they must do, repent and be baptized. And as we said, 3,000 did that. And the same is true for us today. You can do what those thousands did that day to have forgiveness of their sins and the hope of eternal life, to inherit the promise of God, the promise that is sure, that we know is going to happen. And that's the promise of eternal life. If you've never obeyed the gospel, come repenting of your sins tonight and be baptized. Maybe you've done that in the past as a Christian, and you need to confess those sins and repent and turn back to God. God hasn't given up on you. Don't give up on yourself. Turn back to God. Repent and come back to Him. And we stand ready to help you and encourage you if we can in any way tonight. If you'll come, while together we stand and sing.